I have discovered from personal experience that there are enough people to help you, more people than you need, most of the time when you have a device like this to help you. I'm surprised at how many people will quickly open the door for you when you're pushing a cart. It's a very, very good feeling to know that humanity is so good, because so often we just see and hear about the bad in humanity. We're going to hear a little of both today. You know, when I was born into a family of three sisters and no brothers. I don't need to tell you that I wanted a brother badly. And when my mother had the last child, I was at home. My dad was conducting evangelistic meetings. And my grandma was taking care of us. And I was just praying and praying and praying for that brother. And the phone rang, and I knew it was the news that we'd been waiting for. And I listened to Grandma, but I recognized in her voice that it was another girl. Something about her voice just told me, oh, well, that's nice, you know. And, oh, I was so sad. I wanted a brother so bad. But I'm going to tell you something. God has given me lots of brothers. Everywhere I've lived, there have been men who have taken me into their heart, I guess is the way to put it, and been kind to me, and I've been grateful. No less here than anywhere else that I've lived. Cain and Abel were Adam and Eve's apparently first children. Abel had a spirit of loyalty to God that would be the envy of everybody here. He was a good boy. And as he became a man, he was faithful and loyal to his God. He saw justice and mercy in God's dealing with the human race. Oh, we deserved the punishment we got. And he saw that. And he happily accepted what God dealt out. He realized the deep and crucial nature of sin. He didn't make light of it. And he recognized that God had to do something about it. And he willingly accepted what God dealt out. He acknowledged the only hope of redemption for mankind was through the shed blood of Jesus for his sins. Do you really stop and think that your sins are worthy of the blood of Jesus hanging on a cross? Well, Abel understood that. Cain was a little different. Cain cherished a spirit of rebellion, and he murmured against God for the curse placed upon earth and mankind for Adam's sin. Both of the boys were given instruction regarding the provision made for their redemption. Both of them recognized in the various offerings symbols of the coming Savior and the sacrifice he would make for their salvation. Both of them constructed altars and brought their offerings to Jesus for acceptance. But Abel, in obedience to God's instructions, looked to his flock of sheep for a fitting offering, something he knew God valued. Why did he know God valued the sheep? I think that God sat down and talked to the boys. If he didn't, their parents certainly did. And they knew They knew that, only a lamb, only the blood of the lamb would rightfully represent the sacrifice that Jesus would make. They both recognized the various offerings, symbols of the coming Savior. And they both constructed altars and brought their offerings. But Abel, in obedience to God's instructions, looked to his flock of sheep for a fit offering, something he knew God valued. But Cain picked out something he personally valued and brought that as an offering. He was sure it would be enough. It would make God happy. In fact, I think he probably picked out the best of the vegetables that he had in his garden. But he was picking out something that he personally valued, and he brought that as an offering. He pursued the course of self-dependence, the product of his own hands. He'd worked hard in that garden. This was, in his mind, the best he could offer God. What could God expect out of a guy? But the sign he left behind, the sign of God's acceptance. And fire flashed down from heaven to consume Abel's offering. But Cain's offering just sat there, cold, lifeless, meaningless. Cain mumbled and complained that God didn't accept his gift as he had Abel's. And he presented his offering as a favor done to God. Do you ever feel that way? I hope not. But it's a temptation to think that our offerings are something that God needs. We'll do this for God's sake. Is that why we bring our offerings to church? Does God need them? No. Do our elders need them? Yes. But does God need them? No. No, if God chose to, he could fill this auditorium with gold coins. But he doesn't do it that way. He leaves it to us to give from the depth of our heart. And that's what Abel did. But Cain tried to present his offering as a favor done to God. And he left a portion of the sacrifice behind, the blood, the recognition of a Savior whose death would give the gift meaning. It seemed to Cain that there was only a slight difference that existed between the two boys' gifts. Was that true? I can certainly understand why Cain felt that way, given the condition of his heart. But there was quite a difference between the two offerings, enough that one was acceptable to God and the other was not. Through the shed blood, Abel looked to the future, trusting in the atonement that would be made on his behalf. Cain saw the human race as being in a need of development. Mankind needed to regenerate upward. And that's still the way people think. If you've talked to people who believe wholeheartedly in evolution, what is happening to mankind? Getting better, getting better. Now let me ask you something. Use your own sense. Does the world seem to be getting better to you? Are men and women treating each other with a greater sense of their divine origins? I'm afraid not. I'm afraid not. Cain saw the human race as being in need of development. Mankind needed to regenerate upward. Abel, on the other hand, saw humanity as in need of something we could never achieve by any natural means. Here stood the great controversy. Then and now. Sinful mankind can step forward into the realm of righteousness only in the reality of Christ's merits. Whenever a human being fails to be able to live like Christ and falls into a dark, desperate failure, Satan's temper knows no limit and he becomes wild with fury. And in this case, he took his wrath out on the weapon he was using. Cain. The devil took over Cain's mind and he became angry and furious and he killed his brother. I always wonder if Cain knew what was going to happen. He'd seen the animal slain, hadn't he? So he probably had a pretty good idea that what he was doing was going to put an end to Abel. Satan takes it out on the victim as well, doesn't he? We have to know that Abel suffered. And who is the victim today? We're the tools that Satan uses sometimes. And we're the victims. We're the bleeding lamb. But that's really not the meaning of the offering. God confronted the issue. We can read about it in Revelation 12, verses 9 and 11. God confronted the issue. Only through Jesus can the sinner grasp victory. Do you believe that? It's only through Jesus that we can ever be victorious. They overcame him, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Is that us? We hope and pray it is. And if it's not, we need to keep praying until it is, because we need to be like Jesus, willing to be sacrificed for our sins. Now God confronted Cain and said, "Where is your brother Abel?" Oh my, that's not what Cain wanted to hear. Where was his brother? Probably buried somewhere. What was his answer? "I don't know. I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he resorted to lying to conceal his guilt. Are we our brother's keeper? Do you feel any responsibility for your neighbors and your friends who don't know Jesus, who are going to die without the hope of eternal life? Yes, we have a responsibility for our neighbors and our friends and our brothers and sisters. God put a curse on Cain, you know that? A curse that the land would not yield to Cain as it had. Now Cain would have to wander. He couldn't just work the garden. He had to wander everywhere because nothing grew for him. He was under the control of Satan. And through man's sin, Satan had gained control of the human race. But Christ would enable them to cast off his yoke. Oh, praise the Lord, we don't have to stay in this state of Cain. Whenever, through faith in the Lamb of God, a soul renounces the service of sin, Satan's wrath is kindled. The holy life of Abel testified against Satan's claim that it is impossible for man to keep God's law And he, that is Satan, through Cain, resorted to murder. It was truly a rage of a vanquished foe. The lesson of Cain is a lesson of victory. We can be overcomers. We can be overcomers in the blood of the Lamb, just like Abel was. Or we can try to do it ourselves, like Cain did, and suffer as Cain did the vanquished soul. This is the first lesson of the great controversy. The forbearance of God only renders the wicked more bold and defiant in their rebellion. But if we turn to him and we accept the provision that he's made for us, we can have victory, can't we? There's no reason why we have to be like Cain. We can be like Abel. Is that what you want today? Do you want to be like Cain? Like Cain? I know. I'm looking at Tim down here. I know he's not hearing me. Do you want to be like Cain? That's kind of the way we're born, isn't it? But really, we want to be like Abel, don't we? And God has provided a way through his son. Today we need to praise the Lord for the ability to be like Jesus. To look sin in the eye and say, get away from me, Satan. You know, that's what Jesus told the disciples to say. Get thee behind me, he said. What a wonderful promise. I'm all into the great controversy. It's all right with me because I'm on the right side. Amen. Are you on the right side? Are you confident and assured every day that victory is yours in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, let's thank the Lord for that. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord, we have much to be thankful for, and if we started to count the blessings, we'd run out of numbers. But, Lord, we know that all of those blessings come to us through the power of Jesus' blood. Let us be men and women like Abel, who claimed the blood of the Lamb and found victory, found innocence, found righteousness in Christ. Oh, go home with us, Lord. Go with us everywhere we go, because we need you. We need you desperately. Without you, we're just like Cain, but with you, we can be like Abel. Let that be our experience, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.